First action item on here is to approve the May minutes. I got some edits back from folks, so I'll incorporate those and go ahead and send out the final minutes. The next action item is the Willamette Hatchery Broodstock Pond, which is kind of just an update on funding and progress there. Like I've mentioned in the past, I did put in for future fiscal years to receive funding to start that, either with plans or acquisition of materials, maybe some construction. But this year, we certainly don't have it, and the update I got from Tammy Mackey on next year is that it's looking like we're likely short for FY19 funding as well. So right now, it's not necessarily looking that hopeful. Might have to wait until FY20. Moving on to the Lieberg property transfer. I don't really have an update there. I asked real estate a couple days ago if they had anything new. I believe they were going to complete the environmental condition of property or the ECP report by mid-June, so hopefully that's done by now. And they anticipated having the cultural and then another environmental review they have to complete finished by the end of July. Ryan, I don't know if you've heard anything else from Eric out there or from Oliver in our real estate office, but that's the latest I've got.
Okay, now the only thing I know was there was an inspection last week. The note I made myself, it was the environmental inspection. I thought the cultural one was complete, so it was last Tuesday.
Okay.
That's all we've heard from folks, and I haven't heard any update from Oliver since I booked him, whatever it was, 3 weeks ago about the roof issue.
So. Okay. Sounds good. Well, I know those things are scheduled, so they should be happening relatively quickly in the next couple weeks. The next action item on here, I changed the name of it a little bit to Willamette Hatchery Genetic Clips. We had been working to find a way to take and then store genetic clips from spring chinook that returned to the hatcheries and the traps. We got a proposal from Kathleen O'Malley, and we submitted that. I'm trying to bring up the latest email I have, because I did get an update on that. Let's see. And Ryan, I don't know if you've talked with Kathleen at all.
She forwarded me an email, I think late last week, from someone in the Corps contract office that they were working on it, but expected that not to be a quick turnaround. So like 6 weeks or more before we would know anything.
Yeah. So I just pulled up the recent email I got from one of our new biologists up in PME. Her name's Rachel. And she's been working on this. So it sounds like they submitted Kathleen's proposal to the contracting center. And I guess this contracting center saw that, what was it? The start date on her proposal is different from the start date on the contract action, likely due to their delay. I think the start date for Kathleen's was coming up soon. Perhaps we've maybe even passed it. It sounded like that wouldn't be a problem, but that was something they were kind of sorting out.
Okay. Yeah, I think we had originally talked about June 15th as a start date.
Right.
But in terms of having, realistically, I think for her, and I guess us, assuming we do some of the work, having folks on the ground probably isn't realistic until July 15th. So if changing that start date until July 15th, helps. From my perspective, that's not a big deal.
Okay. Rachel was telling me likely early August based on the amount of other contracts they have to process, but that seems like it's too late. We're going to miss Chinook at that point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you have a better drop-dead date that we could tell them we need to buy? Otherwise, it's or getting partial samples, and I don't know if that's worth it.
Right. I would think July 15th would be a pretty firm date on our end.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll get back to them with that and let them know, and then we'll see if they can push this one ahead.
Okay.
It sounded like it was going to be a quicker turnaround when we originally talked about this with the contracting center, so I'm a little confused as why now they're saying it's going to be early August. It's kind of frustrating.
So, Andy, this is Lance. So this is just to archive the samples from fish returning this season, right, for future pedigree analyses?
That's exactly right.
And is it for all of the major population areas, like North Santiam, South Santiam, McKenzie, Middle Fork, or something different?
It is for all four sub-basins. There was some talk from Rich Piaskowski and some other folks as to the value of those collected at Dexter for the Middle Fork. And if there was a problem with funding the entire thing, they had discussed that the Middle Fork would be the first one to go. But Ryan and I kind of circled back and informed them that it really, cutting one of the sub-basins doesn't really make that much of a difference in terms of cost, because the people that are on the ground, it's the labor costs that take up the majority of the budget, and having those people available to do three versus four sub-basins is pretty negligible. So last I heard, they were proceeding with all four sub-basins.
Okay.
I can go back and check my notes and emails, Andy, but I'm pretty sure the final submission, both on the ODFW portion and Kathleen's portion, is only for three sub-basins. I'm pretty sure the direction from Ridge was to...
Oh.
I can go back and confirm that, but I'm certain that's what we submitted, and I'm pretty clear that was the direction from Ridge.
Oh, okay. Then maybe I'm incorrect on that. Which is weird, because the cost difference was so small.
That conversation sounds familiar to me as well.
Okay. I don't remember seeing the final proposals, and if I did, it's been a while. So, yeah, I'll trust your memory on that one, Ryan.
Okay. I'll,
so, Andy, go ahead.
Sorry, Lance. I was just going to say, while we're talking, I'll look and see what I can find, but I'm pretty sure that's what was submitted.
Okay, cool.
Well, to put my two cents in, and you've heard this in the past when we talked about this, but it, from our NMSA standpoint, it's absolutely critical to get those samples this season and not miss a year. And so if there's anything we can do to make sure that we're not missing fish, that would be critical. You know, we're winding down on our consultation and the biop, and the pedigree stuff is turning out to be very, very instrumental in kind of evaluating the success of these programs and reintroduction and knowing for sure all the stuff we find out from pedigree analyses. So if we can make it happen, that would be great.
And Lance, in your view, are all four sub-basins equally as critical, or you view the Middle Fork as just as critical?
I don't think it's as critical, no. The North Santiam is definitely high priority because we have kind of a lack of information. South Santiam, high priority. Cougar, and then Dexter's kind of a bottom on the list in my view.
Okay.
So I found an email from Rich from May 29th, and he had put together a table with kind of what should or shouldn't be included, and the comment for Dexter has our M&E team suggests removing sampling at Dexter for outplants. So we did not include that in the proposal.
Okay.
We did include all of the brood at South Santiam as part of that foster pedigree analysis. So there'll be 100% brood sampling of clipped fish only in the South Santiam Basin.
Okay. All right. Any more comments on that one? So the action would be...
So Andy...
Yeah.
We can talk more about this later, but so the consultation, like I said, winding down and the buy-up coming out and having, you know, specific terms and conditions or things related to this kind of RM&E stuff, does that help with this funding issue now, knowing that, or not?
That's a good question. I don't know if it would help now because the budgets we have, we received, you know, back in September. I think it would help inform some of our managers where the priorities lie for NIMS, and it would certainly help in future years in terms of where money gets spent and how it's prioritized. So it definitely wouldn't hurt. I don't know if it... It might be a little too late in the game, like most of our FY funding has been allocated or obligated at this point in the year, but it certainly wouldn't hurt.
Okay. All right.
So the action on this one for me is to get in touch with the contracting office and see if they can get this in place by July 15th as a drop-dead date. And since I don't want to slow this down anymore, we'll proceed with the proposal as it was submitted, which is without the middle fork included, unless, Lance, you feel like that's important enough to, at this point, to go back and, I don't know if that would be a resubmittal of the proposal or a modification. I don't know quite how that would work. I'm willing to do that if you think it's important enough to proceed that way.
No, I'd go with where it stands now and see if we have a, you know, the best chance of getting it through with the existing proposal.
Okay, sounds good.
Hey, Andy, this is Ryan. One more just kind of thought on that topic, and I don't know if you had, I know we talked about this in the past, but where, for future years, where do you see this falling? Do you see this being added to the M&E contract or hatchery O&M contract or some other funding vehicle?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it makes the most sense to me to have it included in a monitoring and evaluation contract. And those folks could work directly with OSU to store the samples in the lab there. It really doesn't matter to me how they get collected. I think it could go either way, but it makes the most sense to me to put it all in the basket of kind of research, monitoring, and evaluation. I don't know. Do you guys have preference on which way it lies?
I don't necessarily. Other than I think with the structure this year of having a ODFW subcontract with OSU, it at least allows us to hire staff, so it maybe helps with some of the, you know, the communication. There isn't communication between parties. You know, we can just hire some folks on the ground to collect the samples and then work with Kathleen for the archiving, etc. So there would be some additional challenges with having that piece awarded to another entity. Maybe a small hurdle. I don't think it's a big deal, but.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I wonder if a private M&E contractor could subcontract with ODFW in the same way that OSU is doing it.
Sure, and that could work. Yeah, it seems like they would have to do the same with Kathleen, right?
Right. Yeah, I think so.
Okay, that's an approach.
All right. But yeah, we'll start sorting that out for next year so that hopefully it's not this last minute scramble again. We can continue collecting these samples. Okay. If there's nothing else on that one, we'll move on to updates. Start with Marion Forks and Minto. Greg, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. Yeah, everything's going well up at Marion Forks. We're just pressure washing all the ponds, getting ready for marking starting first week of July. We did have our Marion Lake backpack stocking on Saturday with 60 people packing fish up to Marion Lake, and that went went well. Little smaller than usual, but for what the Forest Service wanted, I think we did okay. Down at Minto, continue with collecting summer steelhead. I worked 18 yesterday. We've seen three Chinook. Winter steelhead, I think, are about done. Two of the three Chinook were non-marked. I only had four fish in the trap, so I ended up taking genetic samples off both of them and just threw them in some alcohol. So, other than that, everything's going well.
Cool. And are those trout that are going up to Marion Lake?
Yeah, they're just a fingerling rainbow.
Okay. Cool. All right.
Hey, Craig, are you seeing large numbers of Chinook outside the ladder entrance?
I said there's maybe 15 or 20. We ended up opening up another AWS gate last night. It didn't seem to have much impact. There's only about 8 fish. We'll work them after lunch. But it's just a kind of a weird year. We've been, you know, running 44, 45 degrees with them not wanting to spill the algae, and then we went ahead and had the outage at Detroit. So Niagara's reading about 120 on gas. We're about 108 at Minto. I don't know if that'll stop migration much, but we didn't see. There are a few below there, but not big numbers.
Okay.
Your water temp is 45 right now?
It's been 43 to 45 all season, yeah.
Holy cow.
The steelhead have been loving it. The Springer bites a little tough.
Greg, I'm glad to hear you were able to take genetic clips off those fish. Do you think you'll be able to continue doing that until we can get this contract stuff squared away?
I will do my best.
Cool. Much appreciated. All right, Ryan, do you have the update for South Santa Ana and Foster?
Yeah, pretty short and sweet. Adult collections are pretty similar to Minto. To date, they've collected 41 adult spring Chinook at Foster, and all but two of those coming in the last 5 days or so. Up until the 15th, we had two spring Chinook, so two collections of about 20 on the 15th and 18th, which would bring the number to 41. So definitely not ideal. Large numbers of fish, relatively large number of fish outside the ladder entrance. Same kind of issue with Minto. The ladder, I think I talked to Brett yesterday, and they had 44 or 45 degree water in the ladder, and the river temperature is 53. So you still have that discrepancy with the thermal difference between the ladder and the river at Foster, and that at least seems to be preventing fish or keeping fish from moving up into the ladder. A little bit better on summer steelhead. We're up to 163 summer steelhead collected to date, and then winter steelhead and basically done, but we had 29 unmarked winter steelhead collected and outplanted above Foster. Other than that, juvenile fish are looking good. No other issues at South Santa Am. I don't know if now is a good time, Andy. I was reading through the concept paper, the M&E concept paper for the Foster ladder issue. I don't know if you know much about that or if it's worth talking about that now.
Yeah, let's chat about it. I've heard that it's going on, but I haven't been directly involved with it.
Okay. I guess in general, I was thinking, I read through those Monday, and I thought it might be useful to have kind of RM&E update as a standing topic for HMT, at least on the topics that relate specifically to hatchery operations.
Like, yeah.
Or potentially the Middle Fork PSM. I don't know if you're agreeable to that. The Foster one seemed odd to me in that, I mean, I think we would all agree that temperature seems to be something that really is odd there and not helping our attraction. But the approach to increase spill, warm water spill at Green Peter, it seemed like an interesting approach to me anyway, and I almost wonder if we would run into more warm water issues in Foster and more gas issues in the south, spilling that much warm water out of Green Peter to try to get temperature increases in the latter at Foster. Maybe I don't understand all the intricacies there, but it seemed like another approach could be a modification to the actual latter intake pipe, or some multiple port kind of structure. Do you know if that's if Fenton and those guys have looked at some approaches right at the intake pipe?
I don't know. Bill? I'm not sure, but Chris Walker is here in the room, and he might have a better idea.
Yeah, Ryan, I've heard discussion about, you know, that as a possible solution in terms of moving the intake pipe. And I don't know if this Green Peter operation is an initial first step. Like, if we can solve it that way, it would be a lot less expensive. But also, I don't know the intricacies in terms of other impacts, whether, you know, there would be ancillary temperature or TDG impacts that we're not thinking about. But in my mind, it's a decent idea in terms of trying to see if we can warm it to help things. But again, I don't have the details on that.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Yeah, I guess my thought there is that you're still going to have some thermal stratification in Foster, right? So if you're still, no matter what the water temperature is coming out of Green Peter, if you're still drawing off the bottom of Foster, Foster ladder water is going to be cooler than the river water.
Right, and that's a good point.
Solve that temperature difference. If they're queuing on or not queuing on, the difference seems like that's the issue, not that you're trying to avoid that stratification layer. But anyway, if it's helpful, I can maybe work with Kelly and provide some thoughts or comments to that concept paper if that's helpful.
Yeah, definitely provide those folks comments. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay.
And I like your idea, Ryan, about adding some of these hatchery-related M&E concept papers or designs to our agenda where we could just discuss them as a group. And, yeah, obviously, like, different agencies can and should submit comments, but we could also, within HMT, kind of form an opinion or maybe provide insight or effects of what some of these different suggestions on tweaking things or doing things differently might have.
This is Kelly. I think that would be really useful. And the RM&E team is going to be meeting next Thursday to go over those papers. And so this is really timely as well as far as providing feedback.
Cool. Yeah, I'll take a look at that concept paper as well myself. And if you and Ryan want to provide some comments, I'll take a look, and I can maybe even add on to some of your guys' stuff.
Sure. And Ryan, we'll loop Dave Jepson into that conversation. I'm actually not going to be able to go to that meeting next
week. Okay, sounds good.
Thank you.
Cool. All right, anything else with South St. Anne or Foster? If not, then we'll move on to McKenzie.
Okay, and I'll cover McKenzie as well.
Great.
Kurt is actually, I talked to Kurt this morning. Let me make sure he's not on. Kurt, are you on the phone? Okay. I talked to him this morning that he was down, heading down to the trap. So we are getting good numbers of fish back to McKenzie to date, not counting the fish they're working right now. They've processed 1,483 spring chinook.
Wow.
I believe those are all fin clip. They've kept 300 pairs of brood on hand and already have a pond with a good number of fish dedicated for outplanting and have given a good number of fish to a couple of the tribes to meet our tribal obligations. So no shortage of fish in the McKenzie, returning the McKenzie hatchery. Other than that, they're kind of like everybody else, marking and tagging is ongoing and kind of moving pretty quick through those fish. So things are looking good at McKenzie. Relatively good number of fish. Kirk wasn't sure that they didn't have another 500 fish in the trap this morning. So,
wow.
Lots of fish moving in the McKenzie.
Cool.
That's all I've got.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. Let's see. So I'm going to bring up this update I got from Chad Helms on the cougar trap. He said they've had 17 adult spring chinook back to the facility with one recapture that they released into the reservoir. Oh, whoops. Sorry, guys. We were on mute. So I pulled up an email I got from Chad Helms on the cougar trap. So I'll kind of read through that here. Chad said they got 17 adult spring chinook back to the facility with one recapture that they released into the reservoir because of the rock slide that's blocking the road. Chad wanted to know, and we discussed this at the last HMT and also at the last Willamette FPOM, folks' opinions on continuing to do this and releasing fish into the reservoir. He said that they took temperatures in the reservoir on Monday, and they came up with 61 degrees Fahrenheit, which was taken about 5 to 7 feet below the surface. Chad also said that he spoke with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and evidently they're waiting for permits to be issued, and their contractor that will be completing some of this work is saying best case scenario is end of July, maybe sometime in August. So Chad was feeling like they're going to run out of options pretty quickly with temperatures in the reservoir increasing, and very likely no option for using some of the outplant sites up above. Lance, since you're on the line, I'd love to get your thoughts on this. We talked with Jeff Ziller a little bit last month, and Jeff felt like trying to move those fish up above and placing them in the reservoir was a good idea. Chad thought that maybe they can try to utilize really early morning runnings of the trap and releases up there and try to do it on maybe more overcast days, but with temps warming up, it's certainly an issue.
What's the other option besides the 4-bay release? Is there any?
I guess the other option could be don't run the trap and allow those fish to hold below the dam in cooler water. It's a delay, but holding conditions and handling stress are certainly better down there.
And then operate the trap late season after the road hopefully opens back up and then release them up above?
Yeah, that could be the idea, or depending on how many fish are seen milling out below the trap, maybe if there's a lot of fish stacking up, you try to run it one or two times, try to prevent some of that delay. I don't know. It could be a combination of the two.
Yeah, no, I would defer. I mean, both of those options sound reasonable, and I would just defer the folks on the ground and whatever would be best for the health of those fish.
I'll check with Jeff. I think he should be in the office later today. And given that email that I think Doug sent him previously, kind of outlining the temperature issues, I'll have him weigh in as well.
Yeah, that'd be great. Kelly, do you have any opinion just based off Chad's report?
It's a tough one. What do you anticipate as far as if we leave fish in the river where the temps are cooler and have less handling, how would we manage the kind of the tagging and the kind of return to the trap in order to know if they were going to go above?
Yeah, that's been one of my questions too. I'm hesitant to, I guess I wouldn't want to hold fish down below, not running the trap, and then when the road gets cleared, run it, tag those fish, recycle them down below, have them return again, already later in the season than they should be, and then place them above. I don't particularly like that idea, but if we don't do that, then we're not really following the same type of protocol we've done in years past to try to eliminate any mining of the mainstem population. By forcing those fish to weigh down below, it's possible that fish that aren't attempting to return to the South Fork may back out and go back into the main stem. So maybe that would take care of some of the issue, but
I guess the question is there some risk to the main stem population by having those fish with hatchery parents spawning in the main Mackenzie too?
Right.
Well, they would, from my perspective, if we don't operate the trap and kind of wait till this later season, and then we definitely would have to discuss how many of those unmarked fish went above the dam, given we're not following the correct protocols, because there definitely still is a concern of mining wild Chinook from below Cougar and putting up above. So before any outplanting of unmarked Chinook occurred, we should talk about that, you know, if we decide to run the trap later on in the season, just let those fish cake up below the dam.
And okay, right now that maybe sounds like a better option. Like I said, I'll check in with Jeff, and I don't know if it would be a subgroup that would determine this or how we would move forward.
Yeah, we talked about, I think Chris and I will work on putting together a short memo that just outlines what these different options are, like running the trap and placing them in the reservoir, or not running the trap, or maybe a combination of the two. We can put that out along with the latest info from Chad and Doug, the guys on the ground, and then disperse that, and then maybe discuss it next week at the Willamette FPOM meeting. Chris, does that sound reasonable?
Sure.
Okay.
I know the history of putting adults in four bays in the Willamette is not good. Those fish either fall back down or don't actually migrate upstream that well. So, you know, if we do the four bay release, it might be the same end result of just letting those fish stay below the dam and then collecting them later season, you know, that might be better.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the input, guys. Chris and I will put together that memo, circulate it, and then folks can weigh in. Jeff can have a chance to look at it, and we can discuss it a little more next week on Wednesday. Right? Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then give these guys at Cougar some direction. Okay, moving on, the next update we have is for Fall Creek. Got an update from Doug this morning. He said things are running well. They're collecting, processing, and transporting fish upstream. They've got 71 non-marked Chinook salmon as of today, and one ad-clipped Chinook salmon. Breakdown between males and females. For non-marks, they've got 27 females and 38 males, 13 jacks so far. The ad-clipped Chinook was a female, and that was not transported upstream. They've gotten 24 winter steelhead transported up above. Of those, 10 were males and 14 were females. And they had one summer steelhead that returned to the Fall Creek trap that was also not transported upstream. And then, of course, a bunch of resident trout suckers and whitefish. And Doug says they're out giving a facility tour today, and he's sorry he couldn't attend.
Andy, remind me, all those resident trout suckers, whitefish, are they're put up as well?
Yes, that's correct. Okay.
So I saw the new trap last week. Chad had showed it to me, or Doug, sorry. And you guys, if you have an opportunity, go check it out. Because, man, it looks really nice, and it seemed to function pretty well. There was a couple of bugs but to be worked out, but it looked great.
Cool. That's awesome. I haven't actually been down there yet, but I hope to soon. It seems like The core is finally figuring out how to build adult fish traps. I think we got that one nailed.
Four times the charm.
Took a couple iterations, but we're getting there. Okay, we'll move on to Willamette and Dexter. Dan, I'll let you take over.
All right, we just finished up marking the Chinook and the Steelhead last week, and the auto trailers were pulled out last weekend. We brought in the manual trailer and started it this week just to do rainbow and then some bent clips on some stuff that Jeff's putting in Hills Creek. As far as the fish health, everything's going good. We got a little bit of cold water in the rainbow. We're getting medicated feed today for them and start that treatment, but that's pretty common for this time of the year. Adult collection's going good. So far we've collected just over 2,000 fish at Dexter, and there's still plenty in the river. We're about 200 females from hitting our target on broodstock. Plus, we sent 300 pairs to McKenzie as backup. The fish look pretty good, maybe not as good as last year. We're seeing a little bit of fungus on some of the fish already, which we didn't really see last year, but overall, they look pretty good. A lot of jacks, we're seeing quite a few of those. But it looks like we're gonna have a decent run at least. The fishermen are not catching anything, and they're getting a little upset because we're moving fish and they can't get anything to bite, but we don't know why. We don't know what's changed, but it's been 25 years I've been here. This is definitely the worst year as far as fishermen getting fish. Even the steelhead don't seem to be biting. But the steelhead run, we've collected 86 as of yesterday. So it's way better. I think we had 20 all season last year. So it's looking good. That's about it.
Cool. Thank you, sir. So the next update we have on here is for Lieberg. But Ryan, I think we could probably take that one off. I mean, we're essentially done with Lieberg trout stocking.
That works for me.
Okay. Do they have fish there now?
No, the last of the trout were just released, and so they're really in kind of cleanup mode. They've got some ponds and head boxes shut off that haven't probably been shut off in a couple decades. So they're kind of in deep clean mode, getting ready to water back up July 1st.
Okay.
Hey, Andy, going back to the cougar situation.
Yeah.
I was thinking, just brainstorming, if there's a way to put a adult holding tank on a boat and transport them up through the reservoir and release them ahead of reservoir. You're not talking about big numbers of fish doing that. And, like STEP, ODFW STEP volunteers and stuff have tanks and all that, for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 adults kind of thing. And maybe that might be a possibility.
Huh. Yeah, that's an interesting idea. Ryan or Kelly, do you know if a boat with a tank like that is available anywhere? Do we have that kind of equipment?
We could ask around. I mean, not a super long trip. I have to think about it.
Okay.
We could use the trout stocking raft. Is that your thing, Kelly?
I wasn't thinking that. Release would be a challenge.
That was a joke.
We'll get back to you on that. I think that could have some merit.
Okay. Yeah, I like that idea, Lance. Good thinking. I'll ask within the core too. I know those guys down there in the Willamette have a boat. I just don't know if they have a tank that'd be suitable for that kind of thing.
The release, the handling could be more than you might think, is what I'm thinking about right now.
Yeah.
As far as getting in and out of this.
Yeah.
We can ask around.
Okay. Worth considering. All right, so that brings us to the end of our updates. And the last thing we have on here are some contract status updates. Let's see here. So the first one is for Willamette. Let's see here. I was trying to bring up one other thing. So we're working on awarding the option year for that contract. Unfortunately, it just has one option year, so we'll be redoing the contract after that option year is finished. We need to award it by September 1st. And currently, we're trying to align funding with all the different projects to fund that option and get it out the door. The next contract on here is Trout. That's the contract with Desert Springs. Sorry, who's that? Did somebody just join?
I think they left.
No, maybe not.
Hey, Andy, I do have maybe a question or a comment on the hatchery contract, maybe two questions. So,
sure.
For any update on Summer Steelhead, you know, we've talked about some Summer Steelhead fund shifts and what we might expect to see in that September 1 contract.
Right. Yeah. So I guess this is a good time to talk about the Summer Steelhead HGMP. So you probably saw that the Corps submitted our version, which is very similar to NIMF's last week, I think, just with a couple minor changes to the language and the purpose, the funding, the justification for the program, just in those first few pages. So that was submitted, and we did put in their language that the Corps will not fund Summer Steelhead in the North Santa Yam. So that option will not be in the option year that's awarded for the Willamette Valley contract for 2019. It hasn't been resolved on whether or not... Well, there's kind of two issues. One, we don't even know if we have the funding that we could have used to fund North Santa Yam Summer Steelhead. But secondly, it hasn't been resolved if that funding would be used elsewhere since we're not funding North Santa Yam. Like, could it be shifted to the Mackenzie or to another species or to trout, etc. So that one's still hanging out there. There's been a couple of discussions we've had internally regarding that with no real conclusion. Largely, I think, because it may be a non-issue. If we don't have funding, then it won't be moved anywhere. Chris, do you remember, or do we have a decision on whether or not we are funding the Summer Steelhead option in the Middle Fork?
I don't, but I assume that we would.
Okay.
But I think funding's still the issue.
Yeah, okay. That's kind of what I thought too. So it looks positive that we would award that Summer Steelhead option in the contract. But like Chris said, I think we're still waiting on funding to align. So no promises on that one yet. Does that help answer the question?
This is Lance. What has changed on the mitigation funding? Is that just a decision by the Corps to remove that production, or something changed?
Yeah, a couple things changed. Tammy's budget as a whole was short for this year, and it looks like it's short for next year as well. So we just didn't get the funds authorized by Congress in the amount that we requested. So that's one thing that changed. We were short to begin with. The second thing that changed is that the price of fish went up when we switched from a cooperative agreement to a contract. ODFW takes on significantly more risk in that situation, and there were a few kind of changes to locations and how we split out responsibility at some of the facilities. So price was adjusted and it ended up being more expensive for us to use a contract in the end. And some of these things are just virtues of the contract itself, that contracts with the federal government have different requirements for using small businesses. And so ODFW's costs to provide or to procure fish food actually went up, because Ryan was telling me that they're having to kind of work through small businesses because that's a requirement of the contract. So there's a number of instances like that where costs have just gone up, even though the number of fish has remained the same. So it's not any decision by the Corps to remove or to take away any mitigation funding. It's simply that it doesn't exist and we can't pay for it. We don't have the funding authorized to be able to award that.
Okay. What about the South San Diego summer program? I thought there was no core funding in the latest HTMP draft that I saw for that program as well, right?
That's correct. The Summer Steelhead and the South San Diego are 100% funded by the state with, I think, other sources. Perhaps NIMFS provide some funding through there. Ryan would know better than me, though.
Yeah, 100% ODFW in the South. And that's just because the spring Chinook production chews up the 71,000 pounds of mitigation responsibility for the South.
Okay. So timing-wise on awarding this contract, you said by September 1, and I'm wondering about the things that were mentioned last meeting in terms of not having, you know, the BIOP or the ESA authorization, and it looks like we're going to get that, you know, sometime soon, for certainly this summer. Can we build that into the next contract to fund, you know, McKinsey stuff and the Otoliths? I think those are the two things that were highlighted last month.
Right. Yeah, Ryan and I have been talking about that, because costs would obviously go up for the Corps funding 100% of the production at McKinsey, and then also for taking and reading otoliths and those other tasks associated with incorporating natural origin broodstock. I don't think we can put it into a contract until we have that BIOP, until we have coverage.
Okay.
So September 1st is the deadline for awarding it, and we'll need a week or two, of course, to adjust the language. Do you think NIMFS would furnish that authorization prior to September 1st?
Yeah, the BIOP is going to be done before September 1st, no doubt about that.
Yeah, like July or August, do you think?
Yeah, probably early July.
Okay.
And we could talk a little bit more about that when after this line item, I guess. But, yeah, and no doubt before September 1st.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying, is just to start planning for that, because it's going to happen.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm sure Tammy will be thrilled about that, because it'll make the option year more expensive if we move forward adding those things onto next year's option. So, yeah, we'll have to discuss that and see what we can do. I mean, at this point, we're still trying to wrangle up funding to produce spring Chinook in the first place. So, we'll see how that goes. But I'll talk to folks around here and figure out what it would take. I think we have a decent idea on what the increased cost would be. Ryan, I know we talked about what the cost would be for McKinsey. Did we ever talk about increased cost for reading otoliths?
I don't believe specifically about cost. And yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. I mean, in past years, that work was done through the M&E, contract or cooperative agreement that, you know, CAMS crew.
Right.
in last year, most of that, the actual otolith reading was subcontracted to Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. In the last couple of years, ODFW has developed their own age analysis lab, and so if we were the ones collecting the otoliths, we would likely do that in-house. I don't have a great cost estimate for what that would cost. So I guess the question would be, where would you structure the funding for that? Would it be in O&M or in M&E? And that might, making that decision then would probably let you figure out what it would cost.
Right. Okay.
I mean, it seems, from my perspective, and maybe I'm missing it, it seems like you would put that in M&E because you would have the otolith collections at the hatcheries would be part of the, you know, the total picture, if you will, but the spawning ground surveys would probably collect as many or more otoliths, I would think.
Right. Yeah, it would make sense to just have one entity kind of take that on. Okay. Any other questions to do with that contract? All right, then we'll move on to trout. Like I said, that was awarded to Desert Springs. Right now, the option for 100,000 pounds of trout that would be stocked in 2019, that's been awarded. And right now, we're currently looking for additional funding for the remaining 177,000 pounds. The options that would award those additional pounds have to be awarded by the 1st of July, which is coming up quite rapidly. And Tammy had a note in here that more details and a final status on whether or not those options will be awarded will be provided next week on the 27th at the Willamette FPAW meeting. So she has a meeting, I think, this Thursday to talk about it with some of our corporate board members and see if we have the funding for that. And Lance, it's kind of the same story there. Again, it's not an intentional cutting of any mitigation pounds. It's just simply that we don't have the money to produce them. Any questions on trout? All right, and then the last one is for monitoring and evaluation. Chris is the contracting officer's representative on that one, so I'll let him give a little update.
Sure. The only thing I have on that is the contractor, which folks may know was awarded in Normando, has received permits to begin work. And so they'll begin their survey work, I think, later on this week. I know I had sent I sent you the scope of work for that contract. I can send that to the group if folks want to take a look. We'll also be getting a final work plan, which I can send out as well. So if there's any questions in that regard, that may address it, or you can give me a call.
Yeah, Chris, could you send that out to the group?
Yeah.
All right, and that brings us to the end of our agenda. I've got to run off to another meeting that starts here at 10:30. But are there any last final questions or comments?
Yeah, Andy, I have one. This is Lance.
Sure.
So as we talked about the biop, the hatchery consultation on the new HGMPs that we received is winding down. And at some point, I'd like to talk with HMT kind of about, you know, our findings and conclusions, what shook out there. So maybe think about if next meeting, if that would be a good time to do that, plan some maybe additional time for folks to kind of walk through that. And then also, you know, maybe Andy, think about what would be good for our agencies to meet with your leadership or Tammy, whoever, to talk about kind of the new requirements in the biop, the hatchery piece, and getting them a heads up on all that stuff. So maybe we could follow up later on that, but just maybe be thinking about it.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'll be looking forward to seeing what those things are and then communicating that upwards. It'd be good to get a little more direction and some specifics on what the requirements are and how we should go about them. I think next meeting would work just fine to give an update on your findings. Is it something that would be like a presentation you would want to give during the meeting, or is it something you'd want to distribute beforehand and then folks could come with any prepared questions?
Whatever the group wants to do, I'm open to whatever is most valuable.
Okay.
Official.
All right. Well, maybe we'll just plan on having you present then and kind of give us an update on the findings in the meeting.
Okay.
Cool. All
hey, right. Andy, I got one more question for you. I know you got to run, so I'll keep it short.
Sure.
On the trout contract, is it, so let's say hypothetically only the 100,000 pounds is awarded. At what point will, at least will we know, ODFW know, the prioritization for water bodies, kind of the stocking plan? I know it's early and 2019's a ways down the road, but I guess just a comment is that the more notice we would have on what we can expect in terms of water bodies, stocking, or lack of, that would be helpful.
Yeah, this is Chris Ryan, Andy Edgeron.